This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with us now. And here is one of the most interesting stories from Japan. Now, Japan is interesting to me because I was raised there in the 1970s. Missionary kid on the southern island of Kyushu. And this article is phenomenal from CNN. I don't normally say that about CNN, by the way. But Japan, let's just say this from the outset. Japan's been ruined. By the World War II, but Japan's been ruined by the wrong worldviews.
Yeah, it's the after effect of World War II.
It is, actually. Yeah, things really came apart in the 1950s and 60s. People are going to say, oh, no, wait. They did very well technologically, materially, financially, economically. Actually, they've been doing terrible since the early 1990s.
But as what they did is right after World War II, they adopted our economic system.
Yeah.
Because they recognized they were conquered, so we must be superior. So they adopted the economic system, and they outdid us. When I was a kid, it was a joke. If you got a toy and it was made in Japan, it was considered really cheap. And then remember in the Back to the Future, the best things during that movie, they came out of Japan. Yeah. Because they started the highest quality. Mm-hmm. They started low, and they excelled in manufacturing because they adopted our system.
They adopted some of our quality standards
What didn't they adopt?
Well, they adopted our quality standards from Deming, William Deming, one of the key total quality control guys from the 1970s and 80s. They adopted our materialism. They adopted our worldview of existentialism, live for today, forget about tomorrow type of worldview. And now their birth implosion is the worst in the world. This is from CNN. When Kentaro Yokobori was born almost 7 years ago, he was the first newborn in the Sugoi district of Kawakami Village in 25 years. First guy, first child to be born in 25 years.
Wow.
His birth was like a miracle for the villagers. Well-wishers visited his parents, Miho and Hirohito, for more than a week, nearly all of them senior citizens, including some who could barely walk. So they all showed up, 25 years, haven't had a child.
Wow.
Finally, a child shows up in this village. The elderly people were very happy to see Kentaro, and an elderly lady who had difficulty climbing the stairs with her cane came to me to hold my baby in her arms. All the elderly people took turns holding my baby, Miho recalled. During that quarter century, without a newborn, the village population shrank by more than half to just 1150, down from 6,000 as recently as 40 years ago. So now think about this, moving from 6,000 down to 1150. This is what birth implosions are looking like and will look like in America and Europe, in at least 80 nations around the world, Russia certainly, China as well. Yeah. This is what the world will look like in 60, 70 years from now. Japan is just ahead of the rest. So friends, I think you just need to understand. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida told a recent press conference, time is running out to procreate. Amid a flood of disconcerting demographic data, he warned earlier this year the country was on the brink of not being able to maintain social functions. That's how serious it is for the country of Japan. The country saw 799,728 births in 2022. That's 800,000 births in 2022. Lowest number on record and barely more than half of 1.5 million births it registered in 1982. So half of the births that they got in 1982. Its fertility rate, that is Japan's fertility rate, has fallen to 1.3, far below the 2.1 required to maintain a stable population. As I understand it, South Korea, is probably the only one worst. I think they're pushing 0.9.
Wow.
Korea is just awful. So here we're finding that the existentialistic, materialistic worldview that we have exported to Japan, to South Korea, and these other countries where there's been something of a free market operating, but the materialistic, existentialistic worldview has made its inroads. We are destroying these nations faster than we are the nations with something of a Christian heritage. The problem with South Korea and Japan is they didn't have a longstanding 1,000-year Christian heritage. It takes us a little longer to bring out the jackhammers and break down the foundations that have been established in the Western world for 1,000 years. But not so much in Japan, South Korea, China, elsewhere around the world, in which they had almost none of this Christian heritage. Japan was the first nation, guys. Listen to this. You'll get this in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. If you want to know what's going on in the world and you want to understand the trends that have affected the Western world and every other nation around the world, Japan was the first nation to adopt Margaret Sanger's agenda, hook, line, and sinker, in the 1940s and 1950s. Mm. She actually took a trip over there, I'm going to say in the 1930s. And Japan is going to pay very dearly for this, largely due to the influence of Margaret Sanger. Japan eagerly adopted the very racist and nasty eugenics protection law in 1948. Therefore, Japan quickly gained the unenviable position of claiming the highest abortion rate in the world by 1955. By 1955, get this, Margaret Sanger's agenda had been fully implemented in Japan. By 1955, 55% of Japanese babies were aborted. That's over half of Japanese babies were aborted. And that's why Japan is the pioneering nation to destroy itself, to destroy its social fabric, and to eventually open itself up to being taken over by China, a much more populated nation. China will go after Taiwan first, then after Japan, and these nations that have bought into the Western corrupted worldview that is such a capacity to destroy nations. Friends, I'm telling you, the most dangerous worldview in the world is not Hinduism. It's not Buddhism. You say, what is it? It's what is taught in American public schools and presented in American media and culture. It's the culture that is destroying these countries around the world. It's deadly. It's toxic. It's undermining entire nations. It's the existentialism. It's the socialism. It's the birth control, abortion, pro-homosexual breakdown of the nuclear family, not just in America, but other nations around the world. This is what is destroying Japan. This is what is destroying South Korea. This is what is destroying the world right now. So again, it won't surprise me if Japan is taken over by China within the next 20 years. Wouldn't surprise me one little bit. China has its problems, but remember, it's still 10 to 15 times larger than Japan, population-wise. Well, let's talk about what's happening in America next. On Generations, this is Kevin Swanson.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we're back on Generations. Kevin Swanson here as well. Bill Jack. And Bill, we talked about what's happening in Japan with a 1.3 average birth rate. Korea's running about 0.9. The United States is down around 1.7. That's been in free fall for, I'm going to say, about 14 years now. And so we're well below replacement level here in the United States as well. And here's the problem is there are 80 million baby boomers retiring now, right now, between roughly the year 2011 and the year 2035. 80 million baby boomers retiring, and they killed off 80 million children through abortion and the use of abortifacient since 1960. And so the birth rate has come down, and the worker to retiree ratio will be one third of what it was back in 1960. So what does that tell you? Now, you're coming back and you're saying, yeah, but the millennial generation is some of the most generous, hardworking, character-based, amazing people that the world has ever known, and they will salvage this. That's what you're thinking right now.
That's not what I was thinking.
Oh, no, you're thinking.
No, I'm sitting here wringing my hands.
Okay.
I'm gnashing my teeth.
Well,
I'm throwing dust on my head.
Just put it this way. This is something that Jesus can take care of. This is something we're going to have to get on our knees and pray over.
Yes, we are.
We're going to have to look to God.
Yep. And children are a blessing.
Children
are a blessing.
They are.
And we don't think of them, but they are our Social Security.
They are.
That's why that's why God instituted families.
And, you know, I forfeited Social Security about 22 years ago when I started in the ministry.
Mm-hmm. There was that option at that
time.
There
was an option, right. And so I took the option. You have to do it, I think, within a month or two after getting ordained. And so so I did it. And I looked at my children. I said, I've got five Social Security programs here.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be okay. But here's the deal. That's not the way it's going to be for this nation. I think we need to be ready for this. And I know lots of you listeners have heard about this from Kevin Swanson for the last 15 years of broadcasts. I get it. But I still think you need the heads up, and I think we all need to be ready. And are we ready with extra bedrooms in our homes? Are we ready to care for 4 to 5 widows in every little church? That is, any church with, say, between 150 and 250 members are going to have to be ready to care for at least 5, maybe 6, 7 widows in the year 2034. Are you ready for this? That's all I'm asking. Are you ready? This is your God-given responsibility. Are you ready to sign up for it?
They're not. They're not, because they haven't been ready to take care of the poor and the indigent. They've turned that responsibility over to government. And we have to have our minds transformed and start thinking God's thoughts after him. Not we have exchanged, I've said this before, we've exchanged a big God for big government. We are looking to government to solve our problems, from Social Security to caring for the needy to caring for the poor, instead of looking to God's word and seeing what he says should be our blueprint, if you will. And that is families. If there is no family, James says this is pure and undefiled religion to care for widows and orphans. And then it falls to the church. But if the government has effectively decimated and destroyed the family.
Yeah.
And so we are adrift in many ways in this culture, and it's going to have to take, as you've pointed out many times, repentance, a return to God, and then start rebuilding the foundations.
Baby boomers have an average of $152,000 saved for retirement. That's according to the 19th Annual Retirement Survey of Workers conducted by Transamerica. All right, baby boomers have $152,000 on average saved for retirement, adjusted for inflation 10 years from now. Assuming bond rates don't do any good, which is where they are now, that'll be about probably $40,000 in value. Whatever the case, that will provide some sustenance for 6 or 7 years on average. Then after that, who knows what's going to happen? The retirement survey found 76% of workers overall believe that their generation will have a much harder time achieving financial security in retirement compared with their parents' generation. The average Social Security check is at $1,555 per month right now. In 2030, the worker-to-retiree ratio will be one-third of what it was 50 years ago. And Social Security now, its depletion is scheduled for 2032. It's about 9 years off. It's perfect timing for my retirement, by the way. Not that I care, but... But last year, the Social Security Trust Fund dropped $22 billion of what it was worth, from $2.8 trillion in cash. That's largely because of bonds. It's because they couldn't keep up with inflation. So they're dropping. They don't have enough money. And they're going to be dropping nonstop for the next X number of years. Now, the estimate right now, get this, the estimate is that the average Social Security check is going to drop, it's going to have to be cut by 25% in the year 2032, 2034, 2035, in that range. The average check will have to come down 25%, which means the average check valued today at $1,555 per month will come down to $1,160. And that assumes best case scenario for inflation. That assumes there will be no economic depression that sets in over the next 9 years. That assumes that the government has this whole debt thing figured out. and the federal debt will be well under control despite the fact it's twice what it was before the Great Recession of 2008. That assumes a lot of good things.
You are an optimist, aren't you?
I'm sure an optimist. I'm a realist because, yeah. Hey, you know what? When you're headed for a brick wall at 140 miles per hour, shouldn't someone say, I think that's a brick wall?
Isn't that appropriate? That's where I go,
Well, no, somebody else should say, I think that's a brick wall. Somebody hit the brakes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Screaming probably not appropriate at this point on the program, Bill.
Well, it's either that or cry.
All right. Well, the average Social Security check in 2032, and I think this is fairly conservative, is going to be $1,160. Now, I got to thinking, okay, well, if that be the case, what is the average one-bedroom apartment in America? Certainly, you know, they need a place to live, right? So that's the first thing. You need a place to live. So, and by the way, 40% of Americans are entirely dependent on that $1,150 per month. 40% of American retirees. And then once the other 20% are, you know, used up whatever they saved up, which isn't very much, after 5 or 6 years of retirement, now they're going to need to be entirely dependent upon $1,150. So as I see it, the majority of Americans will be relying upon $1,150 per month in the year 2032. Now, majority of retired Americans will be dependent on the Social Security check of $1,150 per month by the year 2032. That's what the best estimates are giving us right now. But the average one-bedroom apartment in America is $1,680. So how is this going to work out? They're obviously going to have to share apartments.
Yeah.
And after sharing apartments, they're still going to have to pay for utilities, transportation,
food,
medical care, some degree of medical care, perhaps. I don't know. I'm sure there's Medicaid, Medicare to take care of some of that. That's assuming that the American federal government's in fine shape by the year 2032, 2034, 2036. All right, my friends, so what happens? Well, most of the elderly will be living in abject poverty in the year 2035. That's what it means. Most of the elderly will be living in abject poverty in the year 2035 in the United States. And euthanasia will come on like a freight train. Now, it was a Ponzi scheme. Social Security was a Ponzi scheme. You know what a Ponzi scheme is, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah. You
get all these signups, and then you can't give...
You can't pay the dividends or the interest, the profits.
Yeah. I think it's wrong to steal from others by using government to force others to pay for your health care and retirement. That's basic for me. It's just wrong to go door to door with a baseball bat and say, hey, give me money to pay for my medical expenses or for my retirement. Now, I understand that in this case, it was supposed to be something of a savings plan, but it turned out not to be because of this. If a couple had retired in 1980, they would have gotten back almost three times what they put in. If they retired in 1960, they would have gotten back more than eight times what they put in. But if they retire in 2030 or 2040 or 2050, they won't get back what they put into it. See, that's the problem. This is what we're running into, my friends. If you had retired in 1960, you would have gotten eight times what you put into the Ponzi scheme. If you had retired in 1980, you would have gotten three times what you had put into the Ponzi scheme. But if you retire in 2030, 2040, 2050, you're not going to get what you put into it. Okay? Now, there's always euthanasia. Euthanasia is pretty cheap. I don't know. What does it cost these days?
Are you talking about a ticket to euthanasia? Is that the opposite of young people in Europe?
No. No, euthanasia is, it's good death.
EU means good in Greek.
That's right.
And thanatos means death.
So it's the good death.
That's not an oxymoron.
I would call it a not so good death.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what that would be in Greek.
Death is God's enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, friends, what do we do? Well, the only way to get out of this horrible system is to abandon the socialist system right now. In your mind. Now, I'm not saying that people should not try to get back something they put into Social Security. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying, as a system, the problem with socialism is eventually, Bill, you run out of
other people's money.
Thank you.
Margaret Thatcher.
Yes. It's a truism. The problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. And that's what we're going through right now. This is what it looks like. So friends, we got into this horrible situation because people want to trust the government for their welfare and not trust in God. That's bottom line. We got into this horrible situation because we trusted Karl Marx and the Marxist system and the social justice, whatever that's being taught in these horrible evangelical churches today. This wrong worldview, this wrong view of law, this antinomian, unbiblical, socialist, Marxist approach to law. This is being taught in American evangelical churches today in the name of woke, in the name of CRT, in the name of social justice. This is just pure evil. It's a violation of the Eighth Commandment. It's redistributing the wealth. It's stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. And it's an inherently corrupting system that will destroy itself and destroy the people that are caught up in it. We have got to get rid of socialism. And we have so few churches that oppose it. We've got into this horrible situation because the churches stopped providing for the widows. The churches stopped providing hospitals. For 1,800 years, churches provided an average of 25% of their income to the widows in the church. You'll find this in Gregory I's writings in 600 AD. You'll find it in Bede, who was writing roughly, 740 AD? You'll find it in John Calvin, who's writing in, 1540 or whatever. These guys have been writing on this for over 1,000 years. Churches have been doing this for over 1,000 years until you get to 1940, until you get to the last 80 years, at which point governments have set out to destroy the social systems of these various nations and bring these nations down. So let's get back to a biblical system in which, well, churches would provide 25%. Of their income to the widows. It means if you've got a church of 200 and you're bringing in $340,000 per year, then you're going to be given roughly $68,000, $70,000 for the widows in the church. And I would suggest you provide just extra bedrooms on the deacons' homes where the family can take care of the widow or maybe two or three widows, and they can take care of their food, take care of their laundry, et cetera, and provide. And you're going to need to see this happening in tens of thousands of Bible-believing, God-fearing, Jesus-loving churches around America in the year 2035, Bill. We're going to need it. We absolutely are going
to
need it.
Yeah, church needs to step up. Christians need to step up. We need to start planning now and preparing.
1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, especially for the members of his household, including his mother, his grandmother, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. But let a widow be enrolled with the church if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, having a reputation of good works. She's brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, cared for the afflicted, devoted herself to every good work. If any believing woman has relatives or are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows, which means the church cares for the widows that have been abandoned by their families, and there will be a fair number of those widows who have been abandoned by their families, and they will not be taken care of by their families in the year 2035. And then there are those, you know, Christians, brothers and sisters in the church who have mothers and grandmothers, aunts and great aunts, that will need to be taken care of by these families in the year 2035. So in conclusion, friends, let's trust in God more than government, okay? We're going to need men who are willing to provide for their families. They won't leave their wives and children high and dry. They will provide for their mothers and grandmothers. We need that. We need men. Men. We need real men. Men of true faith. Men of true love. Men who follow Jesus. Like Jesus on the cross took care of his mother. Most amazing story ever. It's almost like the whole scene stops as he brings about the great redemption and the overwhelming of all the powers of darkness. He stops the whole program and says, John, there's your mom. Take care of her. We're going to need a whole lot of love for God, humility before each other, and a love for each other. This is going to happen, my friends, because right now, wow, right now, we are stuck with socialism, the impoverishments of the elderly, and the euthanasia program that's going to be hitting tens of millions of people in the year 2035. It's time right now for Christians to wake up and really apply their faith. Put shoes on their faith and begin to engage in the care of the widows and orphans. Hey, we've been doing this for 2,000 years. We just stopped doing it 60 years ago. We're going to have to pick it up again in the year 2035. And my recommendation is you start today. Well, friends, that wraps up this program. I have an entire chapter on this in my book, Family Life, where I talk about the revival or reformation or recovery of the biblical family. I encourage you to get a copy of Family Life, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.